Yeah, amen. We are the church. So we're out there. We represent God in every different types of situations. And appropriately, I'm going to share on something called acceptance and approval, because I know we all yearn and crave acceptance or approval in our lives. And it can identify itself in many ways. Maybe you can relate. I know I can. As a younger person, I did not feel many times I met up to my parents' expectations. And as a result, my acceptance or approval before them, no matter how hard I tried, turned into what I would call rebellion and misbehavior. And so that put me in a place to what I would say, look for love or acceptance in all the wrong places. And in so many different situations, we are asked either with words or by implication that certain types of behavior or actions are needed for acceptance or approval. And we have been approved or not approved based on our performance most of our lives. Even the unspoken standards or criteria for acceptance are very, very powerful. A look or even a gesture can communicate so powerfully and say so many things. And honestly, a distorted view of acceptance and approval can certainly lend itself to a performance-based type of Christianity. I think we've been learning about this. And many of you who were on and listening on Tuesday night, that was really the thrust I felt like of what Ken was sharing, and how we are the church. We're in a relationship. We're in a relationship with God, His Son, Jesus Christ, and one another. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about these and thous and every other thing that, you know, try to put on us. But here, I'm going to make a bold statement. At this point in time, I'd really like to say that God accepts you just exactly the way you are, and He approves of you. Okay? Put aside all your feelings, all your unworthiness, all your unacceptance, all the things that have gone on, and just let's just flat out say, God approves of me exactly where I am right at this very second. No matter what kind of mistakes we've made, no matter what kind of unforgiveness, no matter what kind of things and opportunities and life circumstances and situations, God just accepts us exactly who we are. You know, we've all learned, or we're in the process of learning, and this is probably very true, our acceptance before God is not based on us or our works, good or bad. Our thoughts, good or bad. Our behaviors, good or bad. Our attendance at church, or lack of it, or a multiplicity of other things that could and do attempt to replace the one thing that has enabled all of us to be in God's presence at any time, night or day. There is one thing, and only one thing, that has fully and completely redeemed us from the nature that we inherited at birth. Now, I'd like you to take your Bibles for the beginning of our look into God's Word. Because these aren't things I'm just making up. These are things that are obviously standards and truths that we have acquired from a knowledge of God's Word. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 5. I'm going to be looking and reading from the New International Version, because I think it's just so awesome to remember. There's only one thing and only one thing that has fully and completely redeemed us from the nature we inherited at birth. We receive the old nature by default, okay? Sorry, that's just the way it is. And but fortunately, we've come a long ways. So Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we stop there?
That's good.
We have been justified through faith, through that simple believing. And as a result, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that look like there's a condition that's been put on that? Absolutely not. We have peace. We have peace. We have peace in all of life's situations. And it's through him whom we gain the access by this faith into the, oh, here it is, grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings or when we endure things, because we know that that produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. You see, just at the right time, God's perfect timing, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We weren't even born yet, and this was taking place. Verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Uh-oh, here we go. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more we shall be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received what? Reconciliation. Oh my gosh, 11 verses. And yet, how that says so much. And of course, the rest of Romans 5 is just absolutely awesome, talking about sin nature and what we've received, and that we should reign in life by Christ Jesus, that sort of thing. But isn't it something that in that those verses, again, we're drawing this contrast and setting that contrast, I believe it was when in verse 8, it says, but God. So you got all these things going on, and then God intercedes. And so I wanted to look at a couple of other records. I mean, this might sound like a broken record as we kind of get into this. Acts chapter 13, 29 and 30. You're welcome to listen along or look it up. It's Acts 13:29 says that when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down to the cross, they laid him in the tomb. But God raised him from what? The dead. And we're participating in that action, that loving action. 1 Corinthians 13, here's another great one. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And of course, the classic one we love to read and be reminded of is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4. I'll let Vicki start off this particular voice verse with a highlighted word.
But God.
All right, we'll say it all together. But God. God. And you can say it together with us on the phone line, even though we can't hear you. But God. God. But God. And that in and of itself says so very much. God's rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us with, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. This is how we received our acceptance. We're accepted by God. We're approved by God. It has nothing to do with your good works or lack of good works. The reality is, we have now been accepted and are part of the greatest group of people to ever live on this planet. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's the fulfillment of God's dream. Who are we? We are the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh my gosh, this is so beautiful.
Now you'll notice we say brother and sister around here. You know why? It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory. In this family so dear.
Help me out now.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sun. For I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong.
Sing the song!
I'm so glad I'm a
I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood.
Join us with Jesus
as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Yes, I'm part of the family of God. Aren't you glad?
Father, we have so much to be thankful for. And You called us out of the darkness of this world, placed us in this beautiful, beautiful place, Lord. And how we can ever begin to thank You, I'm not sure, but I'm glad You've given us a perfect language that we can speak to You, Father, in secret, and that You will help us to gather greater understanding, enlighten us, help us, Father, to be the church. And that is that great, big, wonderful family of God. We love You, Father. We're thankful for each and every person here on the phone and each person who's received the Spirit worldwide. That's a big body of Christ. And You're the only one who's really capable, You and Your Son, of overseeing that, watching over it, giving it direction, help where it's needed, Father, energizing strength. And we just pray for our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, and that they're just continuing to hunger to see You face to face, Father, and Your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And we certainly give praise and thanks in His name. Amen.
Amen.